Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Uncommon Grounds by Mark Pendergast is a wide-ranging narrative history of coffee and the global systems built around it. Rather than treating coffee as a simple beverage, the book follows it as a transformative commodity that reshaped labor, trade, culture, and politics across continents. Pendergast traces coffee from early cultivation and spread through the Middle East and Europe to its central role in modern consumer life, showing how cafes, roasters, and brands help define public culture and everyday routines. Along the way, the story highlights the human realities behind the cup, including plantation economies, migration, and the recurring cycles of boom and bust in producing regions. The book also explores how technology and marketing changed, how coffee tastes, how it is sold, and what people expect from it, setting the stage for the specialty movement. The result is an accessible, detail-rich account of how coffee became one of the world's most influential products. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from regional drink to global habit, a central topic is how coffee traveled and why it caught on so powerfully. The book situates coffee's rise within shifting religious, social, and economic contexts, showing how the drink moved from its early centers of use to wider networks of trade and consumption. Coffeehouses emerge as more than retail spaces. They become hubs of conversation, news, business, and political debate. This social infrastructure helps explain why coffee gained a durable foothold in cities where people needed public places to meet and exchange ideas. The narrative also tracks the roles of merchants, empires, and shipping routes in turning a regional crop into an international staple. As coffee entered European and later American daily life, it competed with other beverages and benefited from changing attitudes towards sobriety, productivity, and routine. The book emphasizes that coffee's spread was not accidental. It was propelled by commercial incentives, urbanization, and the appeal of a stimulating drink that fit new rhythms of work and public life. By linking cultural adoption to the mechanics of trade, the story clarifies how coffee became a global habit rather than a passing fashion. Secondly, plantations, labor, and the human cost of coffee, another major theme, is the underside of coffee's success, the labor systems and land use that made mass consumption possible. Pendergast highlights producing regions where coffee became a defining export and where power often concentrated in the hands of plantation owners, financiers, and political elites. The book examines how colonial ambitions and later national development strategies pushed coffee cultivation outward, frequently reshaping local economies and communities. This includes attention to coerced labor, exploitation, and the unequal distribution of profits along the supply chain. Coffee's profitability could drive deforestation, land consolidation, and cycles of indebtedness for small farmers, even as it enriched exporters and roasters elsewhere. The narrative helps readers understand why coffee is repeatedly linked to social conflict and political instability in producing countries. It also clarifies how consumers in wealthy markets often see only the final product and branding, not the labor and risk embedded in each harvest. By connecting everyday consumption to agricultural realities, the book invites a more informed view of what it takes to grow, pick, process, and ship coffee at scale, and why ethical questions keep resurfacing in the industry. Thirdly, boom, bust, and the politics of the coffee market. Coffee is portrayed as a commodity shaped by volatility, speculation, and political negotiation. The book explores the recurring pattern in which high prices encourage expanded planting, which later leads to oversupply and price collapses that harm farmers and destabilize producing economies. These cycles are amplified by weather shocks, plant disease, transportation constraints, and changing consumer demand. Pendergast also examines how governments and international actors have tried to manage coffee markets through agreements, quotas, and other forms of coordination, often with mixed results. Such efforts can temporarily stabilize prices, but may also create incentives for cheating, stockpiling, or shifting production to new regions. The narrative demonstrates that coffee's price is not just a neutral market signal, it can influence elections, labor movements, and national budgets in countries dependent on exports. It also affects how much money is available for farm investment, quality improvements, and environmental resilience. For readers, this topic explains why coffee can be simultaneously ubiquitous and precarious, and why the prosperity of growers is not guaranteed even when consumption rises. The book frames coffee's market history as a lens for understanding globalization, commodity dependence, and the power imbalance between producing and consuming nations. Fourthly, industrial roasting, branding, and the rise of mass coffee. The book devotes significant attention to the modern coffee business, especially how roasting, packaging, and advertising transformed consumer expectations. As companies scaled up, they standardized flavor profiles, built national distribution, and used branding to create trust and loyalty. This industrialization changed what many people thought coffee should taste like and how it should be prepared, emphasizing convenience and consistency. Pendergrass describes how technology and logistics supported this shift, from improved roasting methods to packaging designed for shelf life and transport. Marketing helped position coffee as a household essential and tied it to identity, modernity, and daily routine. The narrative also shows how corporate competition shaped product formats and retail strategies, influencing everything from supermarket aisles to diners and office coffee. At the same time, mass market success often relied on sourcing practices that prioritized price and volume, which could discourage quality premiums reaching farmers. This topic helps readers see coffee not only as agriculture, but also as manufacturing and persuasion. Understanding the evolution of brands and supply chains makes it easier to interpret today's marketplace, where large companies still wield enormous influence over taste norms, pricing, and what information reaches consumers. Lastly, specialty coffee, quality, and new ethical expectations. A final topic is the shift towards specialty coffee and how it reframed conversations about quality, origin, and fairness. The book traces how enthusiasts, independent roasters, and cafe culture challenged standardized mass flavors and promoted freshness, distinct origins, and better preparation. This movement encouraged consumers to notice differences in beans, processing methods, and roasting styles, turning coffee into something closer to wine in terms of vocabulary and appreciation. With that attention came new expectations about transparency and responsibility, including interest in how farmers are paid and how coffee is produced. Pendergrass connects these developments to broader debates about certification, direct trade claims, and the difficulty of ensuring that higher retail prices translate into better livelihoods for growers. Specialty coffee also introduced new forms of competition, education, and ritual, from espresso-based menus to cupping and barista training. The book presents this era as both hopeful and complicated. It can elevate quality and create incentives for better farming, yet it can also become a marketing layer that obscures persistent inequalities. Readers come away with a clearer sense of why the coffee world now revolves around origin stories, sustainability language, and a constant push to define what better coffee means. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who enjoy narrative history, curious consumers who want to understand what sits behind an everyday habit, and anyone interested in globalization, agriculture, or the politics of trade. It is also valuable for people working in coffee retail, roasting, hospitality, or sourcing, because it provides context for issues they encounter today, from price shocks to ethical debates. The benefit to a reader's life is practical as well as intellectual. By learning how coffee systems formed, you become a more informed buyer, better able to evaluate marketing claims, recognize why some coffees cost more, and appreciate the human and environmental realities tied to your choices. Compared with many coffee books that focus narrowly on tasting, brewing, or cafe culture, Uncommon Ground stands out for its broad historical sweep and its effort to connect consumer trends with production and power. It helps explain not just how coffee tastes, but why the industry looks the way it does, why it repeatedly faces crises, and how the cup became a global driver of work routines and public life. That depth and range make it worth buying for anyone who wants a fuller, more grounded understanding of coffee. If you would like to support Mark Pendergrass, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.